Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for the team today. Come on, Faith Church, you can be better than that this weekend. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Is that incredible or what? One more time. I tell you, those kids are good. Unbelievable. We're up here horsing around this weekend. Come on, somebody. We're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about saddling up. Everybody shout, saddle up. You know, so many times we get knocked off the horse. We talk about that sometimes. When we get knocked off the horse, the key is you got to get back up on the horse. But horses are big, right? We talked about that. Like, this horse is really, really big. How many of y'all think it's pretty large, right? And so we're going to talk this weekend a little bit about some of you, I feel like, are right on the precipice of doing something great for God. There's another level for you, but you've been thrown off the horse. And after you've lost in love a time or two or three or four, got quiet. But after you've failed in business a time or two or three or four, the enemy comes in and says, it's never going to happen for you. So my goal this weekend here and in Florida and all around the world is to try to talk you into getting back on the horse, even though you've been knocked off the horse. All you got to do is get up one more time. Come on, somebody. Then you get thrown off. Rachel here, she's been at the church since she was a little girl. She's loved horses forever. Now she has a bunch of horses, a little bitty horse that we've been seeing every week. It's hers. And then she also married a donkey, Chris, my driver. They had little children. Now she's the mother of two little beautiful babies, and then she brought the horse this weekend. So give it up for Rachel here. This horse, I want to get over here just for a minute. Hi, buddy. How are you doing? Hi, you smile at people? Now, the interesting thing about a horse, when you're saddling them up, if you ever saddle a horse, raise your hand if you saddle a horse. Well, let's try this. Have you ridden a horse? Not the one at Walmart, a real horse, okay? But when you go to saddle up a horse, and I'm going to go ahead, Rachel, if it's okay, and take, I didn't even try this, but I didn't even tell her I was going to do this. But this is called a cinch strap. And one of the ways you do is that you have to basically knee the horse pretty good, because the horse blows out its belly, much like your boyfriend. Come on, go with me on this. And when you do that, it sucks it in, and then you cinch up the horse because it's important that the saddle is tight. I don't know, Rachel, does she do that? Blows her belly up? Yep, so she does it. So it's easy once you learn how to do it, but it's difficult to ride a horse when you don't have a saddle. Everybody shout amen to that, right? Oh, this is a roping saddle, so there's a bunch of extra stuff on here. It is a horse. See, we didn't practice this at all, but it's good. Saddle up. Everybody shout, saddle up. Now, the saddle also is very heavy, heavier than I recall them being. But when you give Rachel a hand as she takes the pony off the stage, saddle. Saddling up to go to where God called you to go, what's that look like? That's leadership. Everybody shout, leadership. Leadership doesn't come just like, I went to school, I went to college. Some of you graduated, you know, all these different colleges, and Nicole's got more degrees than a thermometer, and graduated a lot of you from college, and you have student loans. The good news is I didn't graduate from college, but I don't have student loans. But there's information this weekend that can give you power to help basically saddle you up to get you where God wants you to go. And the first place that I really want to go is in Abraham's life, and we're going to go there, chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, notice he's not Abraham yet, not the father of many nations. He says, get out of your country and from your family. That's a word for some of you this weekend. And from your father's house to a land I will show you. In other words, God's saying, hey, get the saddle, saddle up, because I'm going to show you where to go, but right now you don't know where to go. And some of you are there. There's a war in Israel. There's political wars here in America. There's gas wars. People are always like, hey, I want to party like it's 1990. I want a grocery shop like it's 1999. Do I have an amen in here, right? Yeah, everything was just cheaper. But what you have to realize is God called you and equipped you to live in this town. And so nobody's ever been here before, but nobody else was called to be here. And God must have thought that you were the person that needed to be here, but you got to be around the right people to teach you how to cinch up the saddle, how to knock the air out of the situation. Come on, somebody in Florida ought to make some noise. So notice he says, get out of your country. Get out of your comfort zone. Let's put it on the screen again. Thank you. Get out of your country. If you're not careful, you'll just stay where you've always been, where you're comfortable, to a land that I will show you. We oftentimes want God to show us first. Florida, with you, when I first came to Palm Beach, Florida, I didn't know anybody. 20 years ago, God told me I would start a church in Florida. Didn't know how I would do that. We grew the biggest church in St. Louis, the most campuses, everything going on, and you couldn't think that I'd possibly do Florida. And then God showed me, supernaturally, through kind of breadcrumbs, West Palm Beach. In fact, some of you are sitting in high school right now on Shiloh Road. That means meeting place with God, because God divinely orchestrated way back when, I really believe this, when they named the road for the high school, God knew that Faith Church would be there in a land that we did not know, and he called it meeting place with God. Somebody ought to give God praise today. And so I'm just here to tell you that none of this stuff took God by surprise. God didn't wake up and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening in the Middle East. No, it's all in biblical prophecy. And at the end of the trail, that's what? Jesus is going to land in Jerusalem with his long, lanky legs on a white horse, and he's coming back. He is not a God. He is the true and living God. Somebody ought to shout amen to that today. Jesus is alive. So he says, I'll show you the land. So when I went into Florida, I didn't know what it was going to be. Then he says, I love this verse too. It says, I will make you a great nation. He didn't say, hey, you're going to be immediately. He's like, I will someday, and I will. You're not blessed already. He said, I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you shall be. This is all like future stuff, man. You're expecting me to saddle up on I will, and you don't know where to go. What is that? That's faith. And it's impossible to please God without faith. The issue is faith is scary. You know, you think about Peter for a moment. When he's saddled up, the only one who gets out of the boat, and the Bible says that he walked on water. Preachers and people always try to convince you, you know, like he just got out and he sank. No, he was walking on water. It said Jesus was out at a distance. He couldn't even see him. And he said, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come. Remember this in the Bible? Jesus said, it's me, come. And so if he's way over there, it means unless Peter really flew, he walked on water for a protracted time. And then it says he began to sink. Secondarily, you don't begin to sink when you go into a pool. You done sunk, sucker. Come on, somebody. And so he begins to sink. He's in a land he doesn't know. He's in a fearful territory. And it says immediately, check this out, immediately Jesus reaches out and he lifts him up. So he must have walked on the water for a good piece for Jesus to immediately be able to say, hey, you're so close to me, I'll just bend over and pick you up. So don't allow the enemy to convince you that this has never been done before. There's been some water walkers in the Bible, huh? There's been some water walkers in your neighborhood. Somebody ought to give God praise today. You got to saddle up. Look at your neighbor and say, saddle up. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And in you, watch this, all families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed. He grabbed his saddle, saddled up, and he departed on that word. God's asking the same thing of you this weekend. Are you going to sit back and wait for the kids to graduate? For the economy to get better? For your health to be better? For your mindset to be better? Are you going to say today is the day of salvation, and I'm going to grab my saddle, fearful and all? I know I've been thrown off. I don't even have a horse right now. But guess what? I'm going to take my horse down to Old Town Road. Come on. And I'm going to throw my saddle on whatever it is that God called me to do. If you don't have a horse but you got a saddle, it must mean that God's getting ready to give you a horse, a form of transportation to get you where God... I wish I had somebody this weekend to help me. Saddle up! So Abraham departed. He didn't just sit around and talk about it. As the Lord had spoken to him, and let's check this out, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old, man, and he departed for Haran. He's now taking family members. I want you to write this down if you're a note taker. The way you go depends whether your family are going to be successful. I've noticed on my team, if I'm in shape, everybody's in shape. If I'm not in shape, nobody's in shape. If I got a good attitude, everybody's got a good attitude. If I'm learning and reading, they're learning and reading. And so sometimes I look at my team and I go, and I look at myself and go, you the problem. It got quiet in this Presbyterian church today. You are a leader, Mom. You are a leader, Dad. And you've got to lead with the right mindset and say, I'm going to saddle up one more time, and I'm going to prove to these kids, I'm going to prove to the devil, I'm going to prove the economy that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm well able to do what God has called me to do. Somebody ought to give him praise today. Saddle up. So Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that he had gathered. Now, he can gather a lot of stuff in 75 years. And he was wealthy. When he was moving, it was a big deal that they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land, and Abraham passed through the land of the place of Shechem. It's real close to where the stuff is going on in the trouble of the Middle East right now. He passed through. Everybody shout, pass through. In other words, there was difficulties in Shechem. There was obstacles in Shechem. So between God gave me a vision, I'm going to start a church in Florida. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, someday. When I was broke, busted, disgusted, over here my dad just died with 180 people. I love them and they love me for the most part. I had a different vision than they had seen played out their whole life, and I had a dream that God had put in my heart. And I told those people that we were going to go on television, and I wasn't going to ask for money. And they said, well, how in the world do you think we're going to pay for that? And I go, I don't know. But God told me, because Austin was a little guy, that his dad sends child support. And so God told me if I would feed his kids on television, he would send the child support. And guess what? Where God guides, he provides. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any television time. All I had was a dream and a saddle. Somebody ought to help me right now. But I started telling my vision to everybody that would listen until God provided the provision. But if you don't get up, tell everybody, I got a saddle. Who's got a horse? I got a rope. Who's going? Somebody ought to shout amen with me there. And I had to get up. You say, well, how did we build the biggest church in St. Louis? It's not because I went to Bible school, because I did it. It's not because I'm politically correct, because I'm not. It's not because I'm good looking. That's debatable. Come on, somebody, with my wife. It's not because I'm tall. It's not because I'm black. It's not because I'm white. It is because the same God that crucified, resurrected Jesus from a bloody cross of crucifixion is the same God. Come on, somebody, that's on the inside of you, dude. You need to get up. Get up. Get up. Get up! I'll give you 10 seconds to praise him. 9, 8, 7, 6. Get up! Oh, man, I'm preaching right now. Then the Lord appeared to Abram. That's always good. He said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. He built an altar to the Lord. At the altar is where God alters your life. At the altar at a church is probably where you got saved. At an altar at a church is probably where you received your first communion. At an altar is probably the place where you said, I do, maybe a couple of times. But at the altar is where God alters your life. If you look at everything significant that God ever did with anybody that you think is significant in the Bible, or anybody you looked at today in Christendom and said, wonder how they got there. There was an altercation or an altering moment in their life. There was altering that was done to the garments of their life, saying, hey, Joyce Meyer, take the cart back. Hey, David Crank, clean the sink when nobody else cleaned the sink. And all these things that God was doing on the inside of me, in other words, God was preparing me, and he's preparing you right now. But these small tweaks lead to big peaks. And I'm here to tell you prophetically, you can't ride the horse that God called you to ride and have a loose saddle. What is a loose saddle? It is your attitude, rebellious against authority. Oh, it got quiet up in here. Sin in your life that is known sin, because we've got enough accidental sin. I want to get out of here. I know I'm in the wrong path. I'm just telling you, if we act like the world, think like the world, and then come in and say, God is good all the time, and praise the Lord, brother, but we act in a fool all week long. No wonder we've fallen off the horse. But if we would ever do a little bit, and we'd ever get in a group, if we'd ever show up on a Tuesday night, if we'd ever come to church on time and say, God, I bless you in your house. God, bless me, fill me, keep me, help me, heal me. It'll make a big difference. Everybody shout, it'll make a big difference. So you can't have a bad attitude and go anywhere. Just letting that sit there for a minute, letting you get over your attitude for a minute. An attitude's like a flat tire. At some point, you're going to have to change it. Relationship. I'm against this church. This church, you know, not as deep as it used to be. Oh, it is. Same depth it's always been. We can't get out any deeper than the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. We can't go past that. Oh, well, it's not politically correct enough. This isn't a political statement or a political platform or a place that I give you an alternate news source to CNN and Fox News. This is a place where we preach the uncompromisingly righteous word of God that is totally right. It's non-negotiable. Getting kind of not real. People don't clap a lot anymore because they're like, I don't know. Somebody told me it's not right. When you get to heaven, if they let you in, you'll see that God was right from every comma to every period to the book of maps. It's all right. All of it. But there's tweaks. I got a little video. We were doing this video with this horse this week out here in St. Louis. And I was in Florida. They sent the video to me. And you'll see. Yeah, that horse was, he threw him off. Let's see it one more time. Come on, one more time. Just one more. The guy was all right. The horse all right. He just said, hey, guess what? You going bye-bye, homie. So he's like, oh, wow. They thought, you know, we're going to, it's like, hey, try to get the horse to act up. Do some weird stuff with the horse. And the horse is like, not today, Satan. But you know, when the guy got thrown off the horse, he got back on the horse. I can't even tell you. I've been thrown off horses because my dad, he always the test dummy for the horse. Always. I was just stupid. He would just have me ride them. I've been literally thrown off horses hundreds of times. And the whole key is, as long as you can get back up, check, nothing's broken, the air's knocked out of you and you got sawdust on you, maybe a little horse manure on you, all you got to do is climb right back on. Make sure the saddle's cinched up and hold on. And if that guy would have anticipated that the horse was going to do that, he could have stayed on if he'd have held on. But he was just too loose. Let's watch it one more time. Come on, somebody. One more time. I want to watch it. It just feels good. Watch it. He just loose. Not even holding on to the horn. Oh, wow. I guess I can just kind of do whatever I want to do. I'm here to tell you, prophetically, I'm going to go to this camera over here. In 2023 going into 2024. It is no time to lackadaisical lay on your saddle and kind of say, I don't know what's going to happen. You need to cinch it up. You need to grab onto that horn and you go, having done all to stand, I'm going to stand. And when the enemy comes in one way, he's going to have to flee seven ways. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Height, death, things present, things to come. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. I can run through a troop or leap over a wall. Come on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Come on. The fire's going. Bombs are coming. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That rod and that staff, they cover me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Somebody ought to shout today. Yeah! Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. Yeah. Oh, I like church like this. I like our church the way we do it. We yell a little. We teach a little. We sing a little. We do a lot of stuff. We show people getting thrown off horses multiple times a little. Let's go to Jeremiah real quick. Jeremiah, y'all having fun? Are you learning anything? Yes. Jeremiah chapter 12, I was reading that this week. It says, righteous are you, O Lord. Jeremiah is telling God, I plead with you though. I want to talk with you about your judgments. In other words, God, I don't really like the way you're handling some things. Anybody ever been there? Be honest. I mean, don't judge him. I've had these conversations with God. Come on, y'all. I felt like you were judging Jeremiah. But you've done that. Raise your hand if you've done that. Come on, every campus. I want to talk to you, God, about the way you've been handling some things. Why does the wicked prosper? Why are they so happy to deal treacherously? Why they got a Ferrari and a Bentley and a yacht and enjoy the life? You planted them, and yes, they've taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. They're near to you with their mouth, but their heart and their mind are far from you. But you, oh Lord, watch this. He flips the script. He said, but you, Lord, you know me, man. I go to church. I've been through growth track. I've been listening to podcasts. When I'm laying in bed at night, I'm listening to Keith Moore, Kenneth Hagin, go to bed praying in tongues. You know me, God. I feel like you all have never prayed these kind of prayers. He said, but you've seen me. He said, you've tested my heart. And you know my heart's towards you. I got an idea, God. Put them out like sheep to the slaughter. Prepare for them a slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the herbs of that field wither? In other words, how long the economy is bad and war is happening and the beasts and the birds are consumed and the wickedness is just overtaking the world. And then they're even saying that you won't even see the final end. And then verse 5, God says, shut up. He says, if you have run with the footmen and they wearied you, how then can you contend with the horses? How can you run with the horses? In other words, what God was saying is, I hear about your economy's bad. I hear about the milk is high. I hear about this and I hear about that. And God's like hearing him, wah, 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 wah. And then God stops him and said, if the footmen are wearing you out, how are you going to contend with horses? Now, in other words, he's saying, you can't even handle the little problem. So right now you're griping that your air conditioning bills are really high in Florida. And I realized I was there this week and it was super hot. It was like 100 degrees. It was crazy hot. But if you're griping about the AC bills at your house, how is God going to bless you with buildings to employ people so that you could, somebody ought to understand what I'm saying right now. Because I used to gripe about my electric bill until our church electric bills on some of our buildings are $20,000 and $30,000 a month. That's a whole lot of money. So God's saying, hey, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So we got to get you to saddle up and realize that you're going to be able to deal with these teenage kids. You're going to be able to deal with your husband who's just not treating you right. And you're going to be able to deal with your wife who ain't giving you none. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I just don't know what's going to be happening in my life. You got to set up and say, you know what? I've been through the fire. I've been through the flood. Now God is taking me to my wealthy place. I'm not going to faint in the day of adversity. My strength is not small. Let's break this down a little bit more. You saw it a little bit this week. You saw footmen and horsemen. What's interesting is when they would bring in all the footmen, they would bring in hundreds and hundreds of warriors with footmen, and they would kind of blaze the trail for the horses to come and for the war to come. And God is saying, if you can't deal with them, how are you going to contend with horses? And I debated that a little bit myself this week. Hang on, Florida. Because I was thinking, contend with horses? How in the world could you contend with the horse? Because here at our church in St. Louis, we have several girls at our church that are mounted police. They ride horses for the police department for a living. A guy who was on our board forever, he was on the mounted police and was the chief of police in St. Louis. And so they had these really big horses. Massive horses. And I asked Wayne several times, like, man, you know, why do you guys use the horses? And he said, the horses are something that we use to contain and control the crowds because they're so big, people can't combat, fight with, deal with horses. They're really, really big. So I thought about that. How many of y'all, it makes sense to you, okay? Big horse, anybody ever seen a big horse? Like, whoa, you know, I ain't gonna pull the tail. I ain't gonna do anything stupid. The horse feels really big. What God is saying here is I'm looking at this going, wait a minute. God is saying, if you can't handle being on foot, how are you going to contend with horses? And I was like, wait a minute. Don't let this go over your head. How can we contend with horses? And all of a sudden it came up in my spirit. You can't on your own But the greater one is on the inside of you. And when that happens, you're able to actually control and contend with horses. And if you remember that, all of a sudden Elijah began to outrun horses and chariots. Y'all get what I'm saying right now? In other words, it's not based on your education. It is not based on the economy. It's not based on whether we're in war or not in war. We've been in war our whole life. Since you got saved, you've been in war. Ephesians says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places." Anybody recognize this in the Bible? So you've been at war the whole time. So what I'm encouraging you to do this weekend is saddle up in your mind, saddle up in your heart and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say that the greater one is on the inside of me when I don't feel right, when the situation doesn't act right, when it doesn't look right, I'm going to do right. And listen here, if it was easy to be rich, skinny, happy, thin, everybody do it. And we all know how to do it. How many of y'all have watched enough videos in your life to know how to have six-pack abs? Raise your hand. I want to try it again at every campus. How many old enough to even have watched all the way back when Richard Simmons had his short shorts on? I know you don't want to see it. Young people, don't even Google it. You don't even want to know this. But we have enough information to have abs. We have enough information to have health. What we don't have is the ability to saddle up and stay on the saddle, because when adversity comes, it feels so good to have comfort food. Florida, there are still people here. I promise you, they're here. You got to make what my dad would say, a decision of quality. Decision of quality. What's a decision of quality? I asked my dad. He said, that was when you decide, come hell or high water. That's when you decide, live or die. You have made a decision of quality. And then he added this. This is a bomb. He said, when you make that kind of decision to stand, you won't be standing long. Because once you stand, hell knows, the devil knows, and you know, I'm going to lose the weight. I'm going to beat the cancer. I'm going to get my marriage back together. I'm going to get my kids back together. And I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm going to throw that saddle on one more time, even though I got thrown off. Somebody ought to give God praise today. And I have decided that's the way it's going to be. Come on, raise your hand if it's making sense to you. Move your hands a little bit if you're not afraid. Wave your hands in the air like you just don't care. Make sure you got on your underwear. I'm wild this weekend. Decisions of quality. I got a little graphic that I brought about success. And I hopefully they can put it on the screen. It's in my notes. Success. Success is, I think it's there. If not, we can add it later. I promise you. It looks like this. Success, it says luck, and then there's a big thing that's called consistency. First of all, I don't believe in luck. It comes from the word Lucifer. But there is certain times and opportunities when the conditions are right, and you just happen to be at the right place at the right time, which should be something you say every day. So it takes a little bit of luck, it takes a whole lot of consistency. Get it? To have a good life, it's a whole lot of consistency. It's a whole lot of doing what you don't want to do. Here, you know, this weekend, I'm preaching for 28 minutes, right? 28 minutes, and there's probably 32, 36 hours of my own time writing this material, honing this material, memorizing this material, then about six other people that put all this together, including this graphic that they did forget, but that does happen, okay? My point is to you this. If it was easy to stay on the horse, everybody would get on the horse. But it's not. You're going to get kicked. You're going to get thrown off. It's going to hurt. But you just got to remain steadfast that no matter what, you are going to do what God called you to do. Now, you can get out your phone and take this statement down. I know they got this one because I saw it. If you want to make the wrong decision, ask everyone. People tell me, I don't think you ought to wear that hoodie. You look like the the senator or whatever that goes up to Senate right now that looks like a slob, okay? Well, 2 weeks ago, I wore a suit, and people were upset that I wore a suit because it distanced me from the regular man. So just so you know, I'm over that a long time ago. So years ago, I decided I was going to wear whatever I felt like wearing. I actually wore these pants today when I was working out and hanging out, and they felt so good, and they were stretched out to the right amount of weight that I have currently, and I just felt like they were laying there. I threw them to the dirty clothes. Come on, can I go there for a minute? I threw them there, and then when I got out of the shower, I thought, you know what? I'm putting you on again. I thought, there's a whole lot of holes, and I thought, I'll just tell people I've been on my knees praying. It's just what happened. But my point is I don't ask everybody. I ask one body, and y'all ought to get a hold of that right now. You got to find out what God told you to do, and then follow through with that. Oh, Lord, I'm preaching good today. Slide number two, I'm almost done. You feel like you need to have all the answers and you're afraid to make mistakes because you think you need to be perfect to be worthy or accepted by others. So if I would have waited to start the church till I got things right, you still wouldn't have a pastor. If I would have waited to win on television because they told me it would take like $500,000 to go on, and I just like got a couple cameras and went on for like $100,000. Just went on. You go on the strength that you have. Well, if I had tennis shoes and a yoga mat, I would get in shape. We're always making excuses. And you can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't have both. You have to decide what you want. I'm almost done. You end up over-explaining yourself. Watch this. For saying no to people. This is a way that you know that you can easily be thrown off the horse. You can easily fall off the horse where you're like, they ask you to do something and you're like, you can just say no in a great attitude. No. Instead, we go, no, I can't do that because I already, and now you went into lying. I already made decisions to go to blah, 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 blah. And then you think, next Friday night, I can't post anything because I told them that I was doing, somebody ought to go with me on this right now. But you can just say no. Don't overexplain yourself. Think about this. Thousands and thousands of people, over 20,000 membership of the church, okay? And people DM me and go, will you do our wedding? I can't. I would love to do your wedding. But if I did your wedding, I would be marrying people every single day and you would hate my sermons. He just doesn't preach like he used to. I'd be like, you know, a ring is a never-ending circle that signifies your love for each other. Man stands beside the woman, she doesn't stand beneath his feet. I'd be all, I can't say yes to everything. Yeah. I have to say no to a few things so I can say yes to the main thing. Am I helping anybody right now? So you got to be able to tell your kids, no, you got to clean the room. No, you can't do this. Okay, I'm going to keep moving. Got your camera? You abandon your values to match those people that are around you. This is a sure way to get thrown off the horse. Well, I need to go to the world to find a man because I can't find one at church. Well, first of all, if you'd go to church, come on time, you might find a man. If you'd come every service, you might find a man. But anyway, it's debatable. But you can't abandon your values to match those around you. Next one. You feel uneasy. This is where you get thrown off the horse. You feel uneasy to prioritize self-care. You live in fear that somebody's going to label you or say, you know what, you're prioritizing yourself. I could feel, honestly, you a minute ago when I said I couldn't marry you guys. You're like, I don't know if I really want a pastor that can't marry me. And you're already married. It's like, why was that a discussion, okay? Are you planning on getting married again? I could feel it. I promise you, I'm in touch with you, and I felt it go, don't like that. But again, I probably shouldn't say that because I'm not here to tell you what I don't do, but I have to prioritize even my health. I am married. I got a kid. I got a couple kids. I got adult kids. I got a teenage daughter. I got a grandson who happens to be in Palm Beach today at the hospital. He got some kind of flare-up or something. So my mind is on him a little bit because they sent me pictures of him screaming in the ER. I got my own problems. But I'm here to tell you, I don't tell you about all the things that are wrong in my life. I come and preach the word and tell you what Jesus did and what the word did, not what's happening to me. Somebody ought to give God praise today. So you can't, you'll fall off the horse if you don't take care of you. I just thought of this. Anybody ever been on an airplane? Do you have to hear the announcement that I have to hear? If we would happen to have a loss in cabin pressure, a mask will fall down in front of your face and make sure that you secure the mask tightly around your head before assisting others, because they know if you're like, I'm going to help you, you done fell off the horse. In other words, you got to take care of you. And if you take care of you, by that I mean not selfish, but you're saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You might not go to church. Come on, somebody. But I'm going to saddle myself up, and I'm going to take you and your crazy little kids, and I'm going to give them a bath, comb their hair, get the knots out, and saddle them up. And if you do that long term, it won't be long till your entire family comes to Jesus. And if you get right, everything in your life gets right. Am I telling the truth today? I'm 4 minutes over, but how many of y'all give me two more minutes? Raise your hand if you give me two more minutes. Watch this. Next one. If you want to take a picture, you can. You rush to fix other people's problems because you feel that people won't like you if you don't take care of them. And they will cry. They will throw temper tantrums. Anybody ever heard this? If mama ain't happy, goes for the other way too. Let's just make it non-sexist. If daddy ain't happy, guess what? Sometimes daddy ain't gonna be happy. Especially if mama ain't happy. There's gonna be days that mama ain't happy, and there's days that daddy ain't gonna be happy. But what you can't do is to allow your happiness to be predicated upon the lives of other people. What's the worst thing that can happen? Leadership, I'm editing myself, but I'm just going to say it, sucks. It sucks to be a leader. Because when you're a leader, you got to do what people don't want you to do. When you're a leader, you got to say things people don't want you to say. When you're a leader, sometimes you got to, hey, here's what's not going to happen. You're going to put the trash can back. The bag's going in the trash, and then you follow it up with, as long as you live in my house, come on, somebody, under my roof. Remember this talk right here? And you're eating my groceries. Some of you are looking like, no, I'm afraid they might sue me. Let them sue you. Leadership from a 2-year-old to a 22 to a 42, nobody wants to be the bad guy because people are going to blame you. But the surest way to make sure you fall off the horse is be loose on it, like that guy was. He wasn't holding on, man. You got to put that bad boy up there. And if he would have been holding on like this with his legs and this way, he could have done whatever. Instead, he's like, I fell off the horse. Well, I guess so. I guess you did, didn't you? You fell off the horse. You're kicking it, trying to get it to buck, and then you just fall off the horse. Yeah, you got to prepare for this. So I guess your life did get jacked up because one out of every four Sundays, you go to church. I don't go to Growth Track. I don't go to worship. I watch online while I pay my bills. It's too loose. I'm here to tell you, this is not the hour. This is not the time. If you didn't see the news, bombs are flying. Missiles are coming, and it's coming to a city near you. I thought I'd just leave you with that as you're leaving today. Man, is he mad? No. I just know. The Bible said it's going to happen. So what do? The surest way to stay on your saddle is to get so full of the word that this weekend on Friday when everybody's like, don't fly, the jihad is going to jihad you. The airport was so open for me, Palm Beach. Line at Starbucks was like nothing. I'm like, I'm getting a coffee. There's no line. I'm going back to get some egg bites. I'm looking at souvenir shops. I'm on the plane. They're like, pick whatever seat you want. Ashton goes, I'm just laying down. We had a private 747 or whatever it was. It was huge because everybody was scared. But guess who wasn't scared? I'm trained for this. I saddle up for this. I've hijacked every plane I've been on for 20 years. So as soon as I get on Southwest or American, I hit the side of that plane and I say, we're going to the other side without accident or incident in the name of Jesus. This plane is free from terrorism. This plane is free from all problems that come with aircraft. Even the pilots are blessed because they're drunk sometimes. Got quiet up in here. I'm going to try right here. So sometimes the pilot's drunk. And so if the pilot said, God, I thank you. If the pilots are drunk, they're sobered up. God, I pray for the FAA. I pray for the people in the control tower. I speak over the weather that it is going to obey us as we fly through the sky. And Friday the 13th, oh, it was a great day for me. I was singing, I believe I can fly. But people are moved by what they see and what they hear. I'm quitting now. Stand up with me so I'm sure I shut up at this point. They're going to scare you. And there will be things that you could be scared about. And if you're loosey-goosey, you fall right off the saddle. But if you know what the saddles are, and again, this one's cool because this is a roping saddle. I didn't know it. That's why a minute ago. This one here is for the back. So when you go to get a cow, if you go forward because you rope here, the rope's here, this would flip up this way on you unless it's got this rear belt or rear guard on. It reminds me a lot of the scripture, which says to put on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, have on the breastplate of righteousness, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm here to tell you, when you go to church on the weekend, you get yourself all locked up and loaded, cinched up, naked. We don't even know what's going to happen this week, except we're going to be blessed, favored, anointed, protected. Psalms 91 said, "With only with your eyes would you." Somebody ought to shout amen to this. You ought to go through skipping and go to happy and joyful and glad. People say, "What's wrong with you?" Then you invite them to church. Here, as I pray for you, I want your full attention for 1 minute. In Royal Palm, West Palm, online, around the world, I want you to raise your hand if you say, "Pastor David, man, I'm ready to contend with the horses." Raise your hand. I'm ready to run with the horses, man. I'm ready to run. I'm not going to let the footmen, I'm not going to let these small battles, these problems and obstacles keep me back. I'm going to mount up. And I'm going to move forward. And I'm expecting open doors in 24. If that's you today, I want you to stretch your hand here and at every campus and allow God in His Spirit to go through into that high school right now on Shiloh Road, into Royal Palm, into your home. God, I pray right now that the God of heaven and earth, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah Sidkenu, God, all these various names for you, but ultimately, the great I am. I am. I am whatever you need, whenever you need it. God, I thank you that you're moving in and out every aisle, up and down every row, and giving people courage and tenacity to get back up on the horse and to love again and to live again and to dream again. We're not going to let the world dictate to us which way we go. We're saddled up, and we're holding on. And God, I thank you and praise you for what you started in us, you're going to finish. And God, the things that we heard this weekend at church, coming out on a Sunday morning doesn't cost us anything. It launches us up into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And God, then we come back in congregational worship and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for helping us." We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a great hand. So good. By the way, Growth Track today, maybe you're new at any of the campuses. It happens after every service. There's only 2 weeks to become a member of the church. It's just two quick things. You don't have to do them in consecutive order. We have it set up to where you can do one or the other. And if you've done one, you haven't done the other, I encourage you today to do that. It's time to do it. Saddle up. Also, here's a trick too. This weekend, before you leave today, we're going to watch a story real quick that you're going to love and receive the offering so we can honor God with our tithe and offering. But then after that, when you leave, look for people with a red bag, because there's people that came to our campus today. It's their first time, and they need to feel known and needed, and it's important that you just love on them, say hi, tell them they look good, tell them to saddle up, and just bless people that are at the church for the first time. Would you do that for me? Check out Grace's story.